Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. Ty Hildenbrand here, Dan Rubenstein, back again with you over there. SolidVerbal at gmail.com, as always, is our website. You can also find us on SB Nation, as well as Facebook, as well as Twitter, as well as Instagram. Most importantly, though, people, if you are listening, head on out to iTunes.com/SolidVerbal. We're also on Google, and we're on, hopefully soon enough, Spotify. But most importantly, if you like the show, if you want to help the show, go to iTunes.com/SolidVerbal. Like the show by subscribing and reviewing and rating the show, Dan.
Yes. Also, follow us on Snapchat at TYNOODZ. Again, that's TY. Actually, no, there's an underscore. TY_NOODZ. And all sorts of stuff you'll never get on the show itself. So really cool way to surround the content, Ty.
So what's up, man? What have you been up to?
Not too much. Let's see. Draft was fun. Did a big old draft show for SB Nation. That wouldn't have been 2 weekends ago. Yes.
Yeah.
Is my timing right?
Yeah.
So there's that. Heading over to Paris tomorrow night.
Paris.
Yeah. Going to Paris with a lady friend. So that'll be very fun.
Okay.
I've never been. I have all sorts of food recommendations. So I'm excited to eat.
I'm sure you do.
Steak frites, okay, and pastries and falafel and ice cream and crepes, all sorts of things. I know we have a Baylor fan who listens to the show that lives in Paris, and I believe she gave me a couple of recommendations.
Okay.
So if she listens to this show quickly and has more recommendations, please tweet us at Solid Verbal.
Well, that's very exciting. I hope you and the lady friend have a marvelous time.
Thank you. Do you have any recommendations as somebody who's never been there?
French fries, I heard, are delightful.
Sure. I think they're just called frites over there.
But otherwise, no. What I was going to say is, if you're like Dan and you've got a long plane trip or a long car ride in front of you, we've been pumping out content. Quite honestly, we haven't stopped pumping out content, but we just put out our Verbi show, which we worked really, really hard on. The feedback thus far has been great. We put a ton into it. We're both really excited about the way it came out. So you should go and check it out on your podcast feed or podcast app if you have yet to do so.
Yes, absolutely. It is fun. Put on your best pair of headphones, find a quiet place and listen. But yeah, we did coaching interviews all spring long. We did some Q&A shows. There will be more Q&A shows. There will be more shows with coaches. And we now find ourselves, Ty, at the front of the scheme theme month. I don't even know if you need to put... Oh, look at that.
Got a little music for you, Dan. You didn't expect
love
that, did
it.
You?
Not at all. Very excited. You already know who today's guest is because you clicked on the show. Super excited to welcome in Rich Rodriguez, head coach of the Arizona Wildcats, formerly the Michigan Wolverines, the West Virginia Mountaineers, Glenville State, Tulane, Clemson. He's been everywhere, and certainly a name at the top of the sentence of offensive pioneers with what he's done with the spread rushing attack, namely. So very excited to pick his brain. I shouldn't speak of it in the future tense because I already spoke to him and you weren't, and I really wish you were, but he was still marvelous.
So look, let's go back over this very quickly. Rodriguez. Coach in Arizona, which everybody knows. Everyone knows he's an offensive mind. He likes the no huddle, the spread, as you said, sort of the running version of the spread. But everyone remembers Rich Rodriguez for what he did at West Virginia. Won the Big East 4 of his 7 seasons in Morgantown. Then he took over at Michigan for Lloyd Carr, and that didn't work for a variety of reasons. But now he's at Arizona. And we talked about it when he was hired. It always kind of felt like a really nice cultural fit for him out there. He's in a conference that for a long time has been defined by prolific offense. He's bringing his own brand of that offense to Tucson, and he's still trying to get the defense figured out and made a bunch of changes this offseason, but offensively, he's still got his fastball.
Yeah.
And, you know, what a great way to kick off our scheme theme month where we're going to be talking a lot of X's and O's. than bringing in Mr. Rodriguez, who I just read on Wikipedia has a grandmother who is originally from Spain.
There you go.
He has a grandmother, right?
I do not. So what do you find to be most interesting about, and we don't, and this is a spoiler, we don't talk too much about Arizona specifically. It's more about his offensive philosophy and how sort of offense has evolved and how he as a coach has dealt with the demands of his own offense and how college football has changed. But what do you find most interesting about his tenure at Arizona?
Well, one thing I noticed is that he's run less at Arizona.
Yeah.
The two lowest percentages he's ever had in terms of how much he's run the football have been while he's at Arizona. So that's just sort of a random factoid that mainly interests Tom Hammond, wink, wink, nudge. Otherwise, I think the story for me is, can he get his defense in order? So much of what we've seen from Mitch Rodriguez, again, has been on the offensive side, but I have been interested all along in trying to see what he could do with Jeff Castile to bring that defense to where it needs to be to compete, really compete in the Pac-12, and it's just not there yet.
Right, and certainly now with Marcel Yates taking over as defensive coordinator and moving to a less tricky defense, for lack of a better term. The 3-3-5 really confounded a lot of teams, but when it wasn't built properly talent-wise, certainly last year they made a change after the season going with Marcel Yates, the defensive coordinator who was at Texas A&M and Boise State. Yeah, I think it's quite interesting. Also, when you look at, and you mentioned the run-pass ratio, he hasn't had a ton of time, I guess, up until now with quarterbacks. When he started out, he had Matt Scott for a year, then he had B.J. Denker for a year, right, and then going to Andrew Solomon. So having three different quarterbacks in 3 years isn't the best for smooth transitions and just having familiarity at the top of your offense. So the fact that he'll have Andrew Solomon once again, although it appears the quarterback race is pretty open, I think is a big win for Arizona. If they can shore up the defense, they've got a great running back. They still have all sorts of receiving talent, even without Caleb Jones coming back. So I'm looking forward to, I mean, we've already talked about it being a pretty wide open Pac-12 South. Sure. I'm looking forward to seeing how Arizona evolves under a new defense and having quarterback continuity. So yeah, you're right. And he has become a little bit more balanced. They have passed a lot more. You've seen them develop really good receivers. And he's also succeeded across his time without having, and certainly Denard Robinson was a big time recruit and he's had big time recruits, but not sort of NFL quality quarterbacks or that have played really in the NFL, unless I'm leaving somebody out. He's done a very good job of developing successful college quarterbacks in not all that much time. So excited for everybody else to hear what he had to say about that process.
All right. So again, scheme theme month.
Yes.
We've got some plans in the works here. People go nuts about this X's and O's stuff. And
they love the scheme theme month.
It depends what corner of the internet you read. You know, some people say, well, yeah, everybody wants the X's and O's, but it doesn't get clicks. And other people in different corners of the internet don't care. And they still go all X and O's all the time. Very scheme heavy. We don't really care. It's May. It's the off season, and people always demand that we talk to coaches about their schemes on offense. We're working on something on defense. We're definitely going to have Chris Brown on at some point from smartfootball.com. Always a local favorite here. But before we get there, let's start here with the schemes, and let's start with Rich Rod, the head football coach at University of Arizona. Before we get there, Dan, one sponsor now, one sponsor later. Let's start with our good friends over at texture.com, Dan.
Texture. Yeah. Talk to me.
Go to texture.com/verbal.
I'm doing it right now. /verbal.
That's the URL that people should go to if they are interested. Look,
first of all, I love the logo. Clean site. It's great.
It's rebranded under the name Texture. Used to be Next Issue. You remember? Mm-hmm. They've been longtime supporters of the Verbal. And look, it's a really slick app. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is pick the magazines, pick the articles that you like. I used Texture about 2 weeks ago to read that Wright Thompson piece on the secret life of Tiger Woods.
Yep.
Got a ton of acclaim. Was a really well done article by Wright Thompson because obviously he's Wright Thompson. You can read that on Texture. You can read Runner's World on Texture. I've got The Solid Wife looking into doing stuff like that right about
West
now.
West Coast Kevin, not a Runner's World fan.
Not a Runner's World fan.
No. I mean, apparently he's been beefing with them for a long time, but really? Even he would admit that they are beautiful on texture.com.
You've got a whole host of magazines that you can read pretty much in any genre you could possibly imagine. Smithsonian Magazine, Sports Illustrated, Harper's Bazaar, GQ, Clean Eating, CNET, Cycle World, Hello Canada. They're all on there. I'm looking at a long list here. Vanity Fair. I know you're into Women's Day. There's so many magazines that you can read here on texture.com. Here's what it amounts to. You don't actually get a physical version of the magazine. It's an app. You tap into all those magazines anytime, anywhere, using your smartphone, your tablet, any device with which it is compatible. Texture makes it easy to find the articles that you care most about. You don't have to go on to just read one magazine or one article either. Texture now has an editorial team that curates the content for you every day. They help you find the articles that you love. Plus, they give you a deeper dive inside of what's out there and available for you right now with personalized collections. They've also got some really cool bonus features that you can only get via Texture. So it's a really good deal. You can start using it for free right now if you go to texture.com/verbal. We'll put that in the description for this show, texture.com/verbal, if you want to go and give it a shot. But again, it's free trial. You can check it out. If it's not for you, you don't got to stick with it. But it is a really cool service that we've both used. And again, texture.com/verbal. Try it for yourself. If you like it, sign up and continue using it.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Without further ado, then, let's get to our guest of honor. Again, his name is Rich Rodriguez. He is your head football coach at the University of Arizona.
All right. We are now joined by Coach Rich Rodriguez of the Arizona Wildcats. A lot of people like calling him the godfather of the spread offense, the modern running spread. How does that sound to you, by the way?
I don't know. I love that movie series, you know, the trilogy of the Godfather, but everything's kind of morphed so much over the last 20 years from when we first started doing it, but it was a lot more fun when we were a little bit unique.
Yeah.
You know, because it was different. Now it's still fun, but we're certainly not as unique now, but that's okay.
All right. So it's not as unique. Obviously, you know, teams running spread items within their offense is sort of ubiquitous now in college football. But who's at that table with you? If you're not the godfather, who is in the sort of Illuminati of the modern spread running offense to you?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I know there was a handful of us back when we were doing it at Glenville State College 20 years ago or 25 years ago. It was kind of our own little experimental ground. And, you know, we were in a little small colleges, so we weren't on TV and not really anybody saw it. Then when we started doing it at Tulane and Clemson and West Virginia, it became, you know, on TV, and then all of a sudden, what's brought it out was a bunch of, at that time, unique was shotgun one back guys. You know, so it was, you know, when I got together with Kevin Sumlin and Bob Stoops and Urban Meyer and all those guys that kind of had similar philosophies offensively, it all kind of morphed. And you know, we didn't all do the same things, but we philosophically believed in kind of the same approach. And we all have, I think, bits and pieces of each other's systems in our own deal. But our base of wasn't really so much the zone read, even though that became part of it. It was, let's get in a shotgun and run a two-minute drill the whole game and take it from there.
All right. Who has added wrinkles that you've looked at when you're watching football, even just for fun, or you go out to practice, you go into coaching clinics, who has added wrinkles to that spread rushing attack that you've just had to sit back and be like, ooh, I really like what they're doing here?
Oh, geez. Added wrinkles, I think. Oh, I don't know. There were so many people that came visit us when we were at West Virginia. I remember one year there were over 50-some college staffs, and we shared probably, I don't want to say too much, but we shared a lot, but we also got a lot from people that came and visited. And again, it was from the old Houston and Oklahoma, and part of the Leach air raid system has kind of gotten into some of the pass packages. The run game stuff you know, what Gus is doing, Malzahn, is a little bit different. So I wouldn't say we really adopted that much of it. But what's probably changed for us more in the last 6 or 7 years are some of the run pass stuff, where we used to just run the zone read with a bubble screen, and now we're doing zone read or power read with quick game pass concepts tagged onto it. And I think we all kind of started doing it the same. We started doing it on our own as an answer to, you know, some of the zone read bubble stuff that we saw about 10 years ago. So it, I don't know if it was any one particular school, but everybody watching, I probably got as many ideas watching high school film than anything else, because high school coaches are pretty inventive as well. And so it was kind of our own staff kind of trying to stay on top of it, I guess.
How far ahead of defenses, even if offenses are even ahead of defenses, do you feel like something like the run pass option is at this point? A lot of schools doing it very successfully. Do you think defenses are catching, have caught up? We saw Ole Miss run it and beat Alabama with it last couple seasons. Has offense separated itself with the run pass option at this point?
You know, that's a good question, Dan, but I think it's too simplistic to say, well, one side or the other is caught up or is ahead of it scheme-wise. I think I always tell everybody it's checkers, not chess. You don't have to think 6 or 7 moves ahead, maybe just 1 or 2 moves ahead.
Right.
But you want to have an answer to the problems. And so I think what's happened now, our offenses are creating more conflicts for the defense. So defensive coaches have to simplify more to be able to handle the conflicts. And so you're seeing more just, okay, we're going to line up and play press coverage and take that away and see if you'll run your quarterback or take a chance with, you know, blitzing and cover everybody up and press man. So I don't know if there's as much of one group being ahead of another group. I think it's just now it's a lot harder to be a defensive coordinator than it's ever been, because not just scheme-wise, but tempo, you know, used to be that it's always had an offense has always had the advantage to vary the tempo.
Right.
They just haven't used it as much. You know, now everybody, whether you're going fast or semi-fast or sometimes fast, sometimes not, offenses now are realizing, hey, that's an advantage that we have to be able to use the tempo of when we snap the ball, and it's more prevalent than it's ever been. And so it's been defensive guys have to adjust to that as well.
So now it's springtime, and you've been a big proponent of spring games maybe being more trouble than they're actually worth, which seems reasonable. So what do you see as the big value for you and your staff and your team and big area for improvement that spring practice does offer?
Yeah, I think spring practice is important from a fundamental and a teaching standpoint, because you can teach a lot of things that maybe you don't have the time or want to take the time to teach in August. I think a spring game itself, if we were, you know, if you're getting 50 or 60,000 people there and you can use it as a recruiting tool, then and it's fun for your fans, that's good. But most of us aren't getting that kind of crowd, so you're not worried about winning a spring game. So you're just going to have a practice. So I think from a fundamental standpoint, spring practice is important. From a game standpoint, for most of us, it's way overrated.
I think people sort of tend to forget that coaching at its sort of most reduced and basic level is teaching. Where have you personally evolved the most, installing offenses, going over fundamentals, especially, I guess, as it relates to teaching quarterbacks how to both operate an offense and sort of read and recognize defenses?
Yeah, I think you're right. It is teaching, and at our core, that's what we do. We recruit and we teach, and I think from a teaching standpoint, you still got to understand that even the most committed and dedicated players, and particularly quarterbacks, probably aren't as invested as watching film and learning as a staff is.
Right.
So you have to be patient and make sure that you teach even though kids nowadays, I think, are coming out even more in tune and prepared to learn systems than before, and the technology is easier with the video advancements and all that. You still want to be able to not only teach it to them, but also in a manner that they can understand and that they can execute. I said, the adage goes, doesn't matter what they know if they don't understand it and can execute it. And for our guys and our quarterbacks, not only do they have to think decisively and accurately, but they got to do it in a hurry. And that's, you know, that's different. Our guys got to make decisions in a hurry. They don't have to call the plays, but they have to make decisions on just about every snap in a hurry. And that's a big part of our offense.
Where's the learning curve offensively? Which position or position groups come in and learn the quickest, and which need the most time to really sort of understand their responsibilities?
Well, it's without question, it's a quarterback, because there's so much on his plate, and not so much from a, you know, it's I think most spread systems are relatively simple. It's just there's a lot of options on every play, and so he has to be very aware of what's going on around him, you know, and he has to be able to see the whole defense. So this notion that spread offenses don't prepare quarterbacks for the NFL, I think it prepares them better, because they have to understand the entire game and all 11 guys on defense and where the weaknesses are in each defense, as opposed to run play, just hand it off, pass play, read this. You know, they're thinking about everything on every snap. And so, without question, the quarterback is the hardest one to learn and grasp. Probably the offensive line is next. And the simplest positions are probably receiver, just from the standpoint of, you know, they don't have as much on their plate to think about on every snap.
One of the things that you've talked about as it relates to quarterbacks, as it relates to scouting, as it relates to even hiring assistants, is recruiting. And you've talked about this with a couple of new defensive assistants you've hired, and mentioning their ability to recruit early on in the process. So I guess, aside from the external public view, which is, you know, recruiting media, social media, how has recruiting changed for you over the years in terms of how you talk to recruits, how you talk to coaches, how you talk to parents? How has that shifted at all?
I don't know if how you talk has changed at all, but everything in recruiting has become more public.
Right.
And, you know, I think more, which is not all bad. Some of it is not as good, but it's not all bad, because everything, you know, everybody knows more about these kids. There's less secrets out there, and there's more hype, and some of the hype is justified, but some of it's not. And so you got to sort through all that and make sure that you're still making your evaluations on players in the right way, from a standpoint of watch his film, if you can watch him in person, and see how much desire he has to get better. You know, because there's some of these things that build these kids up, and, you know, they think they're going to win the Heisman Trophy in 1 year and be in the NFL in three, and they're like, oh, yeah, this guy ain't close to being ready. He's going to be a good player, but he's not close to being ready yet. So I think you still have to sort through all the, you know, I don't say BS, but sort through all the stuff to make sure that they're going to have a chance to have success in your program.
How often do you get asked, be it by prospects, parents, coaches, about preparation for the NFL?
You get it somewhat, but you know they want to hear that. And you know what? That's okay. I tell our guys, if your goal is not to play in the NFL, we're recruiting the wrong guy, because that's who our opponents are recruiting. But understand this, there's nobody ready for the NFL right now. And you've got to put the work in. We'll give you the guidance and the techniques and the preparation, but they've got to put the work in for 3 years or 4 years to get ready for that. And I think if you're honest with them and can show them some of the things, how you're going to work them, how you're going to teach them, and then at the same time how they can enjoy the experience while they're doing that, then I think you can wrap that up.
It seems that coaches who find a high level of success like you have, there's something not necessarily obsessive, but football is clearly a passion. How much do you watch just for the love of football? Do you watch other college games, be it after the season? Do you watch the NFL when you get a chance? How much of it is entertainment to you?
Well, yeah, for your in recruiting standpoint, that's one of our first questions. We call OKGs our kind of guy, and what that is it's a talented guy that loves football and not likes it. And,
right.
You know, coming out to the West Coast and coaching out here for the first time, I thought that was our biggest challenge. That there was a lot of talent. There's a lot of talent out in the West Coast in particular, but you got a lot of guys that like football and not love it. And what you have to do is find the guys that love football. And if you get talented guys that love football and have a great desire to get better, then you're going to have everything you want. And so that's been our kind of mantra. And sometimes you guess wrong, but a lot of times you find a guy that, okay, what's he doing in the off season? What's he doing in the summer months? What's he doing if he's not playing another sport? What's he doing in the spring months? And you find a guy that maybe he's getting a lot of hype, maybe he's not, but is football really, really important to him? And that's got to be the key to our program, is you know, we got a great situation, but we got to make sure football is really important to everybody involved in the program.
How much do you watch? Do you watch Michigan State? Do you watch Miami? Do you watch the Green Bay Packers? What are you doing?
Yeah, I love. Well, the pros are harder because Sunday's such a big work day for us. I'm going to watch a little bit of it, but and you know our. But our games are at night. Most of our games are on Saturday night. So during the day, yeah, I'm watching other teams play. The most fun for me is to play an early game whenever we do on a Saturday game and hopefully win and then go home and watch somebody else suffer for 3.5 hours on the sideline. So I love watching college football. There's nothing better than to me than the Thursday night games and the Friday night games and sometimes the Saturday ones when we have time. I love watching other people play.
You did some analysis a couple years ago for the national championship game. Unfortunately, I'm an Oregon Duck fan, so that didn't, it wasn't the, like the best moment, I would say, for me. But who do you enjoy watching? Who, even looking forward to this coming season outside of the Pac-12, from a pure entertainment standpoint, what are you looking forward to with this season?
Well, you know, I like, you know, you watch, you know, I think the thing is so neat about college ball, and the NFL to me is interesting too, of course, but the college, in college, there's so many different schemes and variety of schemes and approaches, whether it's on offense or defense, in that it's kind of neat to watch the contrast and the enthusiasm. You know, there's great passion for football. It's the greatest sport, team sport there is, but there's more passion in college football than anything else, and to watch the different type of schemes and approaches. Approaches and, you know, I don't think there's one set approach that's successful. I think it's a variety of approaches. But, you know, to see that and to see the different styles go against each other, to me, is really kind of neat.
And this week, and we're recording this before, obviously it's going up, but we're talking during NFL draft week. What do you think of the process involved? Certainly you have a couple of guys who are talked about a ton. Obviously one is Scooby Wright, but what do you think of the evaluation? You're evaluating from high school to college. What do you think of that process going up a level and how football players in the game is viewed by those eyes?
Well, I mean, the NFL, certainly before they pay a guy millions of dollars, they're going to make sure they vet him pretty well from, you know, from physical standpoint and all the testing they do at the combine. But I think their number one evaluation is always going to be the film. And I tell the players, it's, you know, NFL has the same probably philosophy that we do. If you want to find a guy that's going to be a really good pro, find a guy that's a really good college player. If we want to find a guy that's a really going to be a good college player, find a guy that's a really good high school player. And you can reject a lot of so-called potential guys, but they're going to usually take a guy that they know has played at a high level and has the ability to play, to continue to play at the high level, you know, in the NFL.
All right, I'll get you out on here on this because it sort of touches on a couple of things you've mentioned previously, and that high school is dictating a lot of scheme stuff, and also with how offenses dictate tempo. Something I've seen spoken about and is starting to crop up at the high school level is some people calling it the fourth phase of football, beyond offense, defense, and special teams, or sort of a situational, I guess it's like a four-minute offense, a package that uses a team's philosophy, but in this sort of relates to spread teams, but a need to play a little bit slower and win more blocking hat-on-hat matchups, sometimes using defensive players like teams do on goal line packages. Is this something to you? How strongly do you feel about sort of a different shifting phase?
Well, I think if you, you know, you got, there are these times that you want to be able to run the football when they know you got to run it. You know, whether it's the, you know, to give your defense a rest, whether it's to kill the 4 minutes off the clock, whatever. I mean, our philosophy is pretty much let's go as fast as we can, execute as well as we can, get the lead in the fourth quarter, and then shut it, then kill the clock. And so that's always been, you know, people say, well, you're going to run this the whole game. If we got a lead in the fourth quarter with the ball, we're going to try to run the clock out. So there are going to be times when you're going to have to run it when they know they're going to run it. And you got to be able to practice that. And be able to practice it effectively, you got to be able to put some time, you know, base the right amount of time to doing that.
And getting your best 11 athletes on the field, whether it's a linebacker, whether it's a defensive lineman, is there any credence to that?
Sure. I think, you know, if you got guys that can handle mentally and physically, For us, we had planned on doing that, but our guys were playing so many plays on defense because we couldn't get off the field that we couldn't switch as many over. But with it seems like a lot of scholarships when you go 85 scholarships on Division I, what have you. But, you know, there's probably 20 of those guys are getting redshirted. So to go through that and you want to use your best guys on the roster. A lot of these kids have played both ways in high school. We'll certainly entertain that. In fact, I wish we had more that we could think about doing that with, and we'll try to do that in the future.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the godfathers of this modern spread running offense, Coach Rodriguez, thank you very much for your time and good luck.
Thank you. Great talking with you.
All right, Dan. Again, that is Rich Rodriguez. Good interview. I liked it.
Oh, thank you. I it's fascinating to me. And certainly there were other schools interested in his services this offseason, but it's fascinating when everybody knows what you do and you don't necessarily have the highest level NFL ready type talent at your disposal.
Yeah.
How one keeps succeeding, like over the years, more often than not, Rich Rod has. And despite, you know, a pretty significant bump in the road with his time at Michigan, you know, how you bounce back from that and sort of succeed. And I really do hope former Michigan head coaches succeed, because I am counting on Brady Hoke to turn Oregon's defense into an average one. Let's go average.
He just does what he does.
Yeah.
He just does what he does, and he's got his system, and he's really good at developing it. And we can talk a little bit more about this system and others when we have Chris Brown on, whenever that is. But
who wanted us to ask Rich Rod questions from him.
Yeah.
Which I wish we had booked Rich Rod for tonight as we were recording this instead of a little bit ago when I recorded with him, because that would have been fascinating. And I don't know if I would have understood what I would have been asking him. Like, so when you pull the left guard and he stunt trip double hops down into the second level, is that something you look for?
That though is part of what we're here for. So much of this is inside baseball.
Yeah.
Inside football, whatever. I know what a cover two defense is. I know what man-to-man coverage is. I know what a square
okay,
out is.
Keep bragging, genius. Okay, we get it. You're smart.
I know what these things are.
Yeah.
People don't care that I know what they are. They want to hear Rich Rodriguez talk about how he uses the square out, how he uses the read option. So what we know doesn't matter. What matters, I think, is that we ask the right questions to give people answers in a way that they can digest it and understand it a little better. That's what we're here for.
Also tortilla opinions.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I would add
hot tortilla takes is what we do here on the Verbal
so
as well.
Should we have Cliffy on to talk both offense and tortillas, since that's the more appropriate coach to have on if we're going to do that show? We should probably have Cliff Kingsbury on, because who better?
I'm fine with that.
Do they do something with tortillas at Arizona State? Am I making that up as well?
I mean, it's Tempe.
Yeah, they banned tortillas in 2014. So
in Tempe?
In Tempe.
They banned them?
Whatever they call the stadium, Sun Devil Stadium, I guess. Prohibited items, tortillas. The context is students and fans have been throwing tortillas toward the field for years because throwing a tortilla is fun and because tortillas are delicious and should be celebrated, and because why would you want to throw a tortilla? God shaped them like Frisbees for a reason. So I guess, yes, students at Arizona State, so perhaps having Rich Rodriguez was not
the
smartest.
Who was the first guy who decided to throw a tortilla on the field?
I mean, they do fly, right? They're that shape.
I would imagine so, but who is the first gent to come up and say, hey, I'm going to take a pack of tortillas in and throw them? How does that catch on?
I guess we should dedicate a show to investigating.
All right. Investigative journalism show on how the tortilla started being thrown on the field at Sun Devil Stadium.
So here's all sorts of tortilla activity. So, okay, Texas Tech, we know about. UCSB, University of California, Santa Barbara, has a, quote, serious tortilla problem and nearly lost a game because of it. Two yellow-clad fans sitting behind their bench revived the UCSB tradition of flinging tortillas onto the court to celebrate an impending victory. Baylor students throw tortillas off a bridge. That's a Baylor tradition. Even Arizona, okay, here we go, has a tradition and problems with tortillas.
What the hell?
Interesting. It's a graduation thing.
All right.
Don't waste tortillas, people.
That is the most bizarre thing I think I've ever heard.
Yeah.
All right.
Very excited about Scheme Theme Month. We're going to obviously have a defensive show. As you mentioned, Chris B. Brown from smartfootball.com, formerly of grantland.com. I believe he wrote something for Wired. I read it. It was very good, but I think the outlet was Wired about VR and football preparation. So quite excited.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything new with you, Ty, that you want to add?
No, I'm just glad the Verbies are done and we can move on with our lives.
Did you see I did a Q&A about you on Twitter?
Excuse me?
I did a Q&A about you on Twitter.
Recently?
Yeah, like 25 minutes ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You want to know what people wanted to know about you? I said I would answer any question about you.
All right.
It was like, it was an AMA, but it was AMAAT. It was Ask Me Anything About Ty. So it was a lot of day job stuff. And I said that you worked in IT and you put out crazy fires. Is that correct?
That I would say that that's somewhat accurate. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next, they asked what, this was from Steven, what is Ty's best physical attribute? I said your hair and your piercing eyes.
My piercing eyes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not Kirk Cousins level, but you know, approaching.
Right.
Boxer or briefs, I guess boxer briefs.
Yeah. I think that's the standard issue anymore, right?
I think so. It's more versatile.
I'm not plugged into the scene, mind you, but I would suggest that that would be the standard issue.
Do people from Allentown love or hate the song Allentown by Billy Joel, or do they remember it's about Bethlehem and don't care? I answered that people just sort of accept it and move on and don't make a big deal about it.
I think people like the song, but
okay,
pretty much everyone knows that it's actually about Bethlehem and Bethlehem didn't rhyme.
If Ty were an animal, what would he be? That was from Burn the Bunker. Ooh. I said beaver, which is odd for me as a duck because great hair, great teeth, great at building things.
Huh.
Favorite dessert? Did not know how to answer. I said you
pumpkin
weren't
pie.
Super into sugar. That's
pumpkin
right.
Pie.
That's right. Okay.
I had one food item I could eat for the rest of my life, it'd be pumpkin pie.
That's a terrible answer.
If I was only given one thing for the rest of my life, it'd be pumpkin pie.
That would malnourishment would set in very quickly.
I don't care.
Rumors, this is from QTZ in H-Town.
Yeah.
So rumors of the Solid Verbal podcast expansion won't go away. Who are the top candidates for expansion? Rumor is Andy Staples. Okay. I can quash that rumor immediately.
Yeah.
Because Ty's standard for audio excellence from a potential third host at some point in the future, which we have no plans for.
No plans.
Are so high. And Andy Staples just... He wore a lav mic last time. We love Andy. Listen,
yeah.
We love Andy. He wore a lav mic that rubbed up against his shirt last time. We've connected with some great sounding people. Andy's taken strides. Still has a little bit to go.
Yeah. Sound quality is... I'm a sound snob at this point, so...
What is the most ridiculous sport you will watch and enjoy?
I watched one of those events one time somewhere in Scotland where they chase a ball of cheese down a hill.
Okay.
I would watch that.
It was entertaining?
Oh, it was the best. It was better than like half of the ACC games last year. And I'm not kidding.
I watched a clip of... Deadspin posted a clip. I guess ESPN3 showed Mathletics.
Oh, right.
They showed Mathletes. I don't know if you saw any of the videos. Did you watch?
I saw some of the headlines, but I didn't have a chance to actually watch.
So go and watch. It's almost as if the host is speaking a separate language. Because it's basically... Were you ever in... did you ever like go to like a lunch or recess thing where they were like, hey, take these like five really complicated word problems and see how you score nationally? Do you ever do that?
I've done something like that. Yeah.
Okay. It's like those, but times 50. That's multiplication, Ty.
Yeah. Math isn't my thing.
But it was quite difficult sounding. And these kids were just on point getting answers right. And
carrying through it. Did you have 24 challenge when you were in elementary school?
What's 24 challenge?
24 challenge? You never played that game?
Up. No, what is it?
Oh gosh, it was a card.
I'm on texture.com right now.
It was a card with four numbers on it. And you had You had to, and they were rated with 1 star, 2 star, 3 stars, depending on difficulty. And you had to use your order of operations in some capacity, using each number once to get to the number 24.
Oh,
so like if it was 9, 2, 1, 1, 9 minus 1 is 8, 2 plus 1 is 3, 8 times 3 is 24.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that was pretty intense on this side of the world.
So, okay, Ty, I'm going to give you 10 seconds. You ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Four plus two is six. 1 plus 3 is 4. 6 times 4 is 24.
Right and under the gun. I just would have gone 4 times 3 times 2, Ty.
We're different That's people. What We've always been different I know. People.
It's an East Coast, West Coast thing. It must be.
Hey, we got another sponsor.
Oh, let's close with this other sponsor and your weekend plans.
Touchofmodern.com.
Oh, I'm going there right now.
Be the envy of your group. We've got the inside scoop now.
Mm-hmm.
On where to get all the latest tech gadgets, fashions, decor for your lifestyle. It's all available. Touchofmodern.com. That's where you can find it all, along with the best prices on the web, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to the site. I've ordered stuff from the site before.
Yep.
Right now, I'm feeling saucy.
Okay.
About a, what is this thing called? Let me find the, it's a box brew kit.
Oh, you're going to make your own beer?
Well, I've considered it. They've actually got a wine version of it. All right. Cause Kate and I, we did the wine tour thing on Niagara on the Lake.
Right.
When we were up in Canada, and the, winery industry seems to be one where you can make a ton of money, may also cost a ton of money.
Yeah.
But if perchance something would happen and I decided to go into a different line of employment
field, yeah,
this one seems like it could be of interest to me. So I'm looking at this right now. This isn't the only thing they have, though. They've got a lot of cool gadgets and gear. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're looking for a gift for somebody who maybe has everything, touchofmodern.com would be a really good place to go. They've got all the tech gadgets and gear, iPhone cases,
yep,
watches, men's fashion.
A lot of knives.
Yeah, they got all sorts of cool stuff here. And sales that launch literally every day. Again, at touchofmodern.com, the one website you can go to discover and improve your lifestyle in a single click. Right now, our listeners can gain immediate access to these deals and more. All you got to do is go to touchofmodern.com and sign up. It's free. Touchofmodern.com. Do it today. Tomorrow, it will be different. That's how life rolls in the fast lane. So for goodness sake, do not spare a single moment. Go to touchofmodern.com right now and sign up.
May I ask you something?
Of course, always.
So I now live with my lady friend and have been making design decisions that obviously could be aided by touchofmodern.com.
Yes.
Made a very good decision about, and this is nothing I've ever felt passionately about, throw pillows, Ty.
Oh, don't even get me started on the pillows.
What's your throw sitch?
No, don't get me started.
What's
on
the throw sitch? It's Shea Hildebrandt.
Here's the problem.
Or Casa de Hildebrandt.
I have a problem.
Okay.
And it's not a real problem that's going to lead to any real tension, but
the two
leading ladies in my life, obviously my wife,
Vanna White,
and of course my mother.
Yeah.
They have this thing with pillows. Whenever I try to sit on my couch, I have difficulty sitting because the pillows have invaded.
You're going on an expedition. Yeah.
The pillows have invaded human living space to the extent where I can't even sit on my own couch anymore. And Mama H does the same thing. They're both guilty of it.
It's such garbage.
It's an epidemic with these pillows.
I agree.
What the hell's going on here, man?
How many pillows are we talking on your couch right now?
I'm counting up right now. There are 6 pillows on my couch down. I'm serious. There are 6 pillows.
Stop.
How many are on yours?
2. I drew the line at 2.
There
One
are
in each
6
corner.
Pillows on the couch right now. And my mom's the same way. She might have more. She might have 8.
Did you have any sort of decision in this process about design of pillows?
No. I'm a horrible designer. You've seen me design stuff for like the pie. I'm terrible at designing things. It's never been my forte. And so usually I just punt when it comes to any kind of design decision. That's just not my cup of tea. You do it. Okay. Well, when you forfeit that kind of control, you end up with 6 pillows.
Ty.
I'm trapped in my own house.
I'll say this so you don't have to, because I personally, huge fan of wife Kate, huge fan of Mama H.
I am too. They can do them, really.
They can do no wrong in my eyes. But Ty, you know what you have on your hands? You have yourself a garbage couch. Your couch is a repository for garbage.
It's a very nice couch, but the pillow.
See, I've got a pillow in each corner of the couch. One of them is sort of the design is like an old fashioned LA touristy, like visit Los Angeles. That's the design. And on the other corner, it's like visit Chicago. Ha ha. The lady friend and I are from those places. And so it's cool. It's fun. It's easy. There are 2. I can't believe the you let the dam burst open.
It's wow. the pillows have overtaken this house.
Unbelievable. I guess technically though, that does make for a better sounding house.
I don't know what it does.
It's a softer house in every sense of the word. Six damn pillows.
It's a lot of pillows, right?
Is it an L-shaped couch?
No.
Is it an enormous?
No. Now, in fairness, there's only two of us that live here. There's only two of us.
Right. That's fine.
Okay. So it's like, it's not a big deal most of the time.
Are you building forts for rabbits?
No. But when you want to sit down and you want to watch a movie, it's like, rah.
So what do you do with them? You're just throwing them on the ground?
Throwing them on the ground. Yeah. They're very nice pillows. I like the pillows, but there's just too many of them.
Oh, what are we talking about here?
I can't.
So then people come over and you're sitting down.
We're moving the pillows. Yeah. I cannot be the only man with this issue.
Oh, you're not at all.
It's got to be.
And you're not the only lady with this issue.
It's got to be a female type thing, like an instinct. Maybe. I don't know how else to phrase it.
I think what it is people like seeing their home like they see living rooms in magazines and design situations. And it's a nice look to take a picture of. It's good in theory. Like it provides texture.com.
Yeah.
But holy, it's just, there's no function to it.
I don't know. Email us, solidverbal@gmail.com. Tweet us at solidverbal.
Tweet us your excessive pillow shots.
Take pictures. I mean, we could really.
Is it also on the bed? If there are six on your couch, we're talking non-head pillows. My guess is you have no fewer than five on your bed
That serve no sleeping function. We have four.
Yeah, that's still a lot. That's still a lot.
I don't know. Someone's going to have to help me here. I'm a prisoner in my own house, Dan.
It's just, it's excessive parsley on the plate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe when we have the intervention with Kate, you can help me.
All right. I still haven't seen your place, so I'll come over to your place. I will casually say, man, is there any room on that couch for us?
Yeah. I'd appreciate that. Any help you could give me.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best here.
All right. Well, enjoy Paris.
Thank you very much. I'm excited.
Are you going to be tweeting from Paris?
Probably not all that much.
Good. Don't tweet. Enjoy now.
I'll take some pictures. They'll find their way to the internet somehow.
We're going to be back next week. Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere in that vicinity. So stay tuned to the Twitter feed.
Scheme theme.
It is scheme theme month, Dan. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what that's from?
Yeah, Tecmo Super Bowl. Nintendo Entertainment System.
One of my favorites. All right. For that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, thanks again for tuning in to the Solid Verbal. Don't forget to check out texture.com/verbal and our friends over at touchofmodern.com. Go to itunes.com/solidverbal if you like the show. Rate us, review us, subscribe to us. Every little bit helps. In the meantime, enjoy your weekend. We will catch you all in about a week. Stay solid.
Peace.